the events that have happened in our lives, the people around us shape how we see things, how we see events, how we understand them. This week the children have been learning all about Jesus and his team of followers. They've thought about making a team, and shaping a team, inspiring a team, challenging the team and sticking to the team. And so this morning I just want, hopefully in a few brief moments, to think about
that team. The children have learned about Jesus calling his disciples, healing a blind man, walking on the water, teaching about how we ought to respond to his message of grace and mercy and love, and revealing the truth of who he was to all those around him. The memory verse which Alexander and William very kindly recited for us this morning shows us that Peter came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But not everyone took that view. Just like the pictures we saw, some of us saw one thing and others saw something else. Now, what are we thinking this morning as we think about the scene around Jesus' arrest and then his crucifixion, about our own response, whether we are ready to be joining the team? Mark chapter 14, I'm going to flip through a few different verses and then I'll tell you along. That's great, if not, the words are on the screen for you. Mark chapter 14 and verse 61. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming in the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him as worthy of death. The first response to Jesus that many people had back then was, "We want nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them." The religious people of the day didn't like Jesus. Right from early on in his life and his ministry, when he told a paralytic man, a man who couldn't walk, who couldn't get about by himself, as Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." From that moment, they didn't like him. What they didn't like about him is that Jesus, in that encounter, had said to this man, "Your sins are forgiven." And for the religious people around, they thought that only God could forgive sins. They couldn't grasp, as Peter did later on, that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Son of God. Although they were looking for the Messiah, they didn't see clearly Jesus before their very eyes. They took a very different view. And from that moment on, they tried to find ways to get Jesus out of the way. They wanted rid of him. They wanted to accuse him of some crime, but no accuser came forward. And here in these verses, as we've read them this morning, it's almost like Jesus is played into their hands. He's asked if he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and he says, "I am. I am him. I am the one." And this is it. In their eyes, they have gone. In their eyes, he has committed blasphemy. He is speaking against God. And the punishment for blasphemy in their day was death. They have got him. Isn't it sad that that's what the religious people thought of Jesus? That's what the religious people noticed about the Messiah? These are the ones who should have recognized him for who he was and joined the team. But instead, they want to have nothing to do with him. They want to keep doing what they do. They're happy making up their own rules, wanting things to stay as they are. They want nothing to do with Jesus. And there are many in this world today who still hold that view, who still think the same way. They look at the picture, they look at the story, and they don't get it. Maybe you're one of them. You've heard about Jesus, but you've decided he isn't for you. You think he's got no relevance to who you are and what you do and how you live your life, and you just want to have nothing to do with him. Maybe you want to do away with him because it's too challenging for your life and how you live it. Just know, whatever the reason, these religious leaders wanted nothing to do with Jesus, whatever your reasons. Maybe you're here and you've thought all along to this point that you you want nothing to do with them. There's a second response there around the cross, and it's found in Mark 15. Mark 15 in verse 2, as Jesus is taken before Pilate, a Roman leader, and he's asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is, as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing me of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. And then down to verse 12, "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" Pilate asked. And they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him," wanting to satisfy the crowd. Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And here's the second response. The first one's been, "We want nothing to do with them." The second response is, "I'm interested. I'm interested, but I'm going to stick with the crowd." Pilate, we read there, was amazed at Jesus. He was amazed at how Jesus acted in front of him. Pilate was the Roman governor for the area. The Romans had invaded Israel. They had taken over Jerusalem. They were ruling, and the people didn't like it. The religious leaders brought Jesus to Pilate to deal with him, because only Pilate could really sentence him to death. And Jesus stood before him, and we find that Pilate was amazed at what was going on. More importantly, he was amazed at this man before him. He didn't know how to think. He didn't know how to respond. The crowds around knew what they were doing. They weren't interested in Jesus. I think they were wanting Barabbas released. Barabbas was a well-known freedom fighter. He was trying to fight for freedom for the Jews to get the Romans out of the land. He'd been arrested, and they thought to themselves, "We want Barabbas back, not this man Jesus." And what would Pilate do? What would Pilate do? He's amazed at Jesus. He's interested in him. He's interested in what's going on. But the crowd are shouting for somebody else. The crowd are shouting that they're wanting rid of Jesus. They're not interested. What is Pilate going to do? And Pilate gives in because he wants to stick with the crowd. And he says, "Well, you want him crucified? Here he is. Take him away. They beat him. They flog him. You nail him to the tree." And you know, just like Pilate, there are many of us in this world today who are interested, but we want to stick with the crowd. We're interested, but we want to stick with the crowd. Maybe you're here today and you've heard about Jesus and you're interested to find out more, but you're scared of your friends. You're scared of what they'll think. You're scared of what they'll say. You're scared to go into your work and to say, "I was in church yesterday." You're scared to go into your work and say, I gave my life to Jesus, I believe in Jesus." You're interested, but that's it. Maybe you come to church Sunday by Sunday because you're interested and you sing the songs and you love being here. But you go back on Monday to your work, back on Monday to school, back on Monday to university, back on Monday with the crowd that are around, and you're thinking to yourself, "I can't tell them about Jesus." Do you know, for years I was like that as a teenager. I went to church on a Sunday and I pretended to be this really cool Christian boy that loved being there, and I did. And everybody thought I was goody two-shoes. And then what happened? Monday morning came and I wanted to be with the crowd. Monday morning came and I thought of them. I made fun of the guys in the corner. I used the language that everybody else used. The Sunday Christian had disappeared. I was interested. Interested. But I wanted to stick with the crowd. Are you interested? Are you interested but sticking with the crowd? And there's a third response, which is a much better one, thankfully, to encourage our hearts this morning. Mark 15, and down in verse 37, with a loud cry, this is Jesus, he's on the cross now, they've crucified him. Pilate said, "Be away with him." So he's on the cross, he's nailed there, he's hanging there, he's been hanging there for some time. And we read, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God. Surely this man was the Son of God. The third response is belief. Believe in Jesus. And I've added a wee bit extra on there in there because we want to believe and we want to follow. The centurion standing there, he's a Roman soldier. He's used, and you'd have to be used to it by the way, he's used to the cruelty of crucifixion. One of the worst kinds of death ever put on a person in history. And he stood there and he's watched for a couple of hours, this man being nailed to a cross, not saying a word, hanging there suffering. And then he hears Jesus breathe his last, and he says, surely this man was the Son of God. Surely this man believed in Jesus. He believed who Jesus was. He believed that he was the Messiah. And there are those here today who see in Jesus something different and something special. We read the Bible and we find that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He is the Christ of God. We believe in him and we follow him. That's why we're here. That's why I'm a minister. That's why the team have been here to share with the children and the young people this week. That's why Ruth does the job that she does. That's why many of us gather to worship here Sunday by Sunday. We believe in Jesus. We've joined his team. And you see, it all makes sense when you then think of the drama and you think of the cross and you think of what Jesus actually did. You see, that ribbon tied around each person was our sin. The Bible tells us that we've all done something wrong in life. It doesn't matter how little we think it is or how great a sin we think it is. It's all sin and it binds us up. It ties us in like the guys there in the drama there. And we've disobeyed God. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. We've ignored him. We've rebelled against him. We've wanted nothing to do with him. We've been interested, but we've wanted to stick with the crowd. And yet Jesus died on the cross to save us. Jesus released us from sin. That was the untying of the ribbons around their hand. And then they all placed their sin on Jesus' back. Jesus died to save us. Sadly, though, not everybody sees it that way. And in a little twist to the drama at the end, one guy came and put the crown of thorns in Jesus' head and took his sin and walked away again, not interested. I want nothing to do with Jesus. I was interested, but I want to stick with the crowd. Friends, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? For the children, they've been learning all week that wonderful memory verse. What about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. And we are at that stage today, where our response isn't the first one that we want nothing to do with them. It's not the second one that we're mildly interested, but the world's far more attractive. It's that third one, where we want to join Jesus' team. And we say, I believe in Jesus. Friends, I hope you won't be away from this place today with any other response other than you want to believe in Jesus and follow him. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Jesus died to save each one of us. We do what we do because we believe in him. So what's it to be? Is it response one? Have nothing to do with them. Is it response two? I'm interested, but it's only going to be on a Sunday, and I want to stick with the crowd. Or is it response three? I believe in Jesus, and I want to follow him from this day forward. The choice isn't mine. The choice is yours. Individually, it's yours. But the stakes are high. Are you willing and ready to join the team? Let's bow our heads and let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you for your amazing grace, mercy, and love. We thank you for all that's gone on this week. We thank you for teaching the children some of the great stories of the gospel. We thank you for reminding us this morning that for the whole reason why Jesus came, he came to die on the cross to save us from our sin. We thank you for the powerful drama where we saw that and it acted for us. But Lord, for each of us, we need to think about what it is and why, what we think of it. So Lord, this morning, help us to consider Jesus. From the youngest to the oldest in this place, help us to think about what he did for us and help us to respond in the right way by believing in you. by following you from this day forward. Father, allow the words that we've heard this morning, the things we've learned throughout the week, stick with us and remain with us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to close in prayer. And then you get to chat to the kids and the team and each other next door over soup and sandwiches. Soup and sandwiches? Sandwiches and cakes is the right answer. And if you want to ask me about those responses, if you want to ask me about following Jesus, then come and speak to me. I'd be delighted to do so. And there are others here who can as well. But let's stand and sing. Remember that Jesus died, he came alive again, and he reigns forever. The greatest day in history. Happy day. Let's stand and sing.